Acts chapter 16. May the Lord give us revelation today. Father, we thank you that as we come to your word, you've got things to say to us, and you've got ways for us to walk in, that I pray this word, Lord, will equip us to live in your victory and to see what Paul and Silas saw happen in our experience. Thank you. All scripture is God-breathed, and it actually is not something we want to read of in history. It's something you want to do today, in our day, and in our experience personally. And I pray we won't listen to this word as if it was yesterday, but that we would listen with a fresh heart and our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, so that today we can see the dynamic power of your Holy Spirit, demonstrations of your Spirit that we've never seen before. And we just reach out for those things. If you're wanting to reach out for a greater demonstration of the Spirit, just reach out to the Lord now in faith and say, Lord, I want to be included in the revelation of this happening in my life for the glory of your name. Amen. Praise God. Now, we're going to just cut into this chapter. I've been living in this for quite a few weeks in Acts chapter 16. But Paul and Silas were led by God to go to this place called Philippi to preach the gospel. And we are in a season as a church of walkabout, going out, talking to people about Jesus. And I really believe God wants to activate us continually by his Spirit in seeing people get to know about Jesus and give them an opportunity to respond so that the Lord actually will bring them into the kingdom, to give them the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And so in a sense, we can put ourselves in this context in every generation whenever God's people have actually done what Jesus said, to go into the world and preach the gospel. We can actually say it's almost like Paul and Silas. We're on our way out. Every week we're on our way out. We're going out from this place, equipped after worshiping God and hearing his voice, to actually go and see the kingdom of God advance. That means that you have a greater purpose than just seeing God do stuff for your own life. That actually we're here for this generation, and we're here to see the gospel change this generation. Now, what was interesting in verse 16, we just read this one verse. Paul and Silas here, they were on their way, they were going to a place of prayer. Once, when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money from her owners, by fortune telling. Now, Paul and Silas, they'd already seen people saved in Philippi, but they were on their way to prayer, to a place of prayer. And on that way, they were met by a girl, a slave girl. And this girl actually had a demon. And the interesting thing about demons is that they are eternal spirits. Just like angels are eternal spirits, unseen, you can't see them, but they live. Even though somebody who houses them dies, they still stay in the earth until the final judgment, when Jesus said he will cast them down. Okay? So you could say these demons are still, which is the truth, around today. The same demons that Jesus cast out, they go and find somewhere else to live, Jesus said. And they try and interrupt people who are on the way with a spiritual purpose to tell people about Jesus or to pray. That's why your prayer life will try to be interrupted by Satan. Because the devil does not want you to pray, because he knows that there is power when God's people pray. And there is also a power released when God's people preach about Jesus, tell people about Jesus. He wants to shut down the preaching of the gospel. So in other words, he wants to shut you and me down. And so this girl, who actually needed setting free, and Paul did set her free because of the love of God, actually. God wanted this girl free. But Paul had this kind of attachment going around him for a few days. through this girl, the girl wasn't the problem because our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but through this girl was coming a spirit. Now, I have experienced this kind of spirit through people, but I've also experienced it a kind of in the atmosphere, in the spirit realm. Jesus experienced the enemy. He didn't come in the form of a person at times, but when he was in the wilderness, the enemy came, a spirit being, and spoke to him. And so we know that demons speak, and they speak through people, or they speak directly to God, even God's people. And we need to be aware that we are in a spiritual battle, that we live in two worlds. We live in a physical world, and we also live in a spiritual world. That we are not just physical. Everything isn't just about touch, taste, smell, hearing. It's about spiritual things. And the spirit realm, even though you can't see, influences almost everything that happens around us. And we are in a spiritual battle, especially as Christians or people who have Christ in them. We actually have a battle against the powers of darkness, the powers of demons and hell. Now, you and I can sense this spiritual battle at times, especially if we are sensitive to the Lord and praying people and worshiping people. We can sense there are changes in atmosphere. You can sense when you go into somebody's home, if a family have had a barney or an argument, and there's a tenseness in the atmosphere, you can tell when you're in on that house, like, this doesn't feel that great. It feels extremely uncomfortable. Or you can tell if somebody is carrying judgment. And there are spirits of judgment and accusation. And it can sometimes be within a person, that spirit working through a person. And you can sense when somebody judges you, can't you? Has anybody ever felt that kind of, oh gosh, this doesn't feel good? It's condemnation that comes piling on you. Well, the power behind that is spiritual. It's demonic. Okay? Because it's nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing at all to do with the Holy Spirit. If we talk about the difference in atmospheres, we could say that the difference in atmosphere is extraordinary between a library and a nightclub. A nightclub is designed for sin. It's actually designed to lead people into sin. And therefore, that atmosphere attracts the demonic. A library is a completely different atmosphere. If I was to be in a nightclub, which I don't go because I don't believe it glorifies the Lord for God's people to be in that place, because you can't even talk about Jesus, it's that loud. And the only reason we'd be there would be to be a witness. I'd sort of wait till they came out and said, let me tell you about Jesus. He loves them. He loves people. But there's a different atmosphere, and it's a spiritual battle going on. Music can be demonic. Music has been used in every demonic genocide. Songs which are filled with words of hate, or songs that are filled with sexual connotations, they actually attract the demonic in people. However, there is another sound and a different song. And actually, the whole purpose of music, the reason music was created, was for God. And to be anointed and be able to lift off burdens and set people free and see healing come through praise and worship. And songs that are written for the Lord and have got words in that actually release the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we are in a spiritual war. And very real things in the atmosphere change what's happening. Now, we need to know what Jesus has done for us before we ever talk really about what the enemy tries to do. And if you turn in your Bible, we're going to look at this one scripture in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, The Lord is going to work a tremendous victory this morning. If you will partner with him in what he wants to do, it's going to be an amazing time. Okay, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. And this is speaking about what Jesus has done as the one who was our substitute on the cross. He died in our place so that all who accept Jesus can receive everything good from God. Eternal life, and I mean really is Christ's life. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has brought us from the dominion of darkness. Jesus has taken us from Satan's power. Those who accept Jesus have actually been taken out of Satan's authority and power. Not Jesus will set you free in the future. Come on, church. He has. And in my understanding of the tenses, the scripture doesn't make a mistake. It is something that has happened. I am not under Satan's authority. He's taken me out of the kingdom of darkness. Now let me give you understanding of what darkness means. Darkness has everything that the devil is. That's what darkness is. Everything the devil is darkness. Everything God is light. And so wherever there's darkness, you see depression, sickness, you see sin of all kinds, lust, greed, you see all kinds of anger, rage, murder, darkness. Everything that is God is light. We are in the kingdom of light, where everything is good, everything is holy, everything is pure, everything is healing, everything is freedom, everything is good. We are in that kingdom because we believe in Jesus' death and resurrection and have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Everything that represents Satan, and has transferred us. That means taken from one place to another place. I'm in another place. I'm in the kingdom of God. Christ is in me. Now, to make the transfer, you personally need to accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross and confess him. And accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you do that, you will come out of Satan's family and become one, a child of God in God's family. And so we need to know what Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection. We're out of Satan's dominion. In fact, the word of God tells us that greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Now that's speaking about Jesus. The greater one is in you than the one who is in the world. We shouldn't have much trouble with the one in the world because the greater one is in us. Scripture says the one who is in the world, the devil, is called the God of the world. But he's not God of the church. The church has another Lord and another God. And in fact, we have been raised in Christ and are above the enemy. Seated in heavenly places. And Christ is the head. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, Satan is under your feet. Just move your feet a little bit and say, Satan is under my feet in Christ. That's where he is. Isn't this good news? So while we're preaching the gospel, And while we're seeing these kind of spirits try and attach themselves or come against us, we need to know who we are and where we are in Christ. That we're no longer under the power of Satan. Now, Paul wasn't struggling. I'm struggling every day with the devil. He knew he had authority. And so we're not talking about a struggling warfare. We're talking about a victory warfare. We're not talking about somebody who's trying to win over the devil. We're talking about a people who have won the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And that's how we need to see ourselves. But the Bible also says, don't be unaware of the devil's schemes. The devil plans to do certain things to eliminate your victory so that you don't succeed as a believer. And the first thing he tries to do with all of us, is tempt us to sin, to compromise in some way. It's the same plans in every generation. He can't take salvation from you, but he can make you downright miserable through compromise and through not understanding who you are. Just say the devil ain't going to make me miserable. I'm going to make him miserable. I'm going to give him a bad day every day. There's a fight going on and I'm winning. So, he makes us compromise and he hassles us and he tries to come against us. This is the loser trying to win. The right perspective. An atmosphere, the atmosphere you live in is absolutely everything to do with you. Because you've been placed in Christ, you are in a position of victory, you're in the kingdom of light, but the atmosphere you live in, not just us as a church, but you personally live in, has got everything to do with you, and it's got everything to do with me. Now, for example, what attracts the Holy Spirit? Praise, prayer, holiness, purity, forgiveness attracts the Holy Spirit. What attracts the devil or demons? The flesh, guys, your flesh. Anger, unforgiveness, rage, bitterness, lies, drunkenness. The enemy comes in because we give him what the Bible calls is a foothold. We can open the door when we live in the flesh. But thanks be to God for the blood of Jesus, that if we confess our sin, personal sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the door is closed to the devil in your life. Shut that door. You remember somebody once said that? How about you saying it? I'm going to shut the door to the devil in my life. I'm not going to compromise. So we can live in an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God is wanting to move each one of us into a dynamic release of the presence of God personally. That we don't wait for Sundays to experience the presence of God, but that every day we are living in the presence of the Holy Spirit because we are living in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. All of these fruits will attract God. You see, God, listen to this one. God is everywhere, but he doesn't manifest everywhere. God is in every Christian, but he's not necessarily showing himself to be in every Christian. If they're living in the wrong way or in the wrong place. Yeah? Remember, we don't lose our salvation, but we become downright miserable and defeated when we live in the flesh. The devil will win over you if you live your life in the flesh. Uh-oh. Let's wake it up and shake it up, church. Because God doesn't want you to lose. He's destined you to win. Now, and back to Acts chapter 16. I feel like I'm preaching to thousands today. And I trust this word will go out all over the world. Because I believe there's something in this word for a lot of people. And I hope everybody who belongs to this church will listen to this. Hallelujah. Okay, chapter 16, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now, I just want to talk about this spirit, this demon. And this demon, one of the translations for this demon is a python. A python. And the python spirit tries to attach itself to believers. Okay? Now, there are different kinds of snakes. Now, what's interesting in Scripture, that snakes are a symbol of the devil. In the garden, the serpent came to Eve to question the word of God. And the snake, the devil, will always get you to try and question the word of God. Make no mistake about it. He'll always whisper into your ear, did God really say that? How can that be true? Right through to the book of Revelation, where it says, that great serpent, the deceiver of the whole world, is cast down. Okay? But Scripture is always speaking about the devil like a snake. Legless thing that he is. On his belly that he is. And his head has been bruised by the Son of God. Now, pythons. If you know anything about a python, I do. I was raised in Africa. And we were not happy if there was a python around. In fact, I wasn't happy when there was any kind of snake around. And there are different kinds of snakes. Just as there are different kinds of demons. Just trying to wake you up to a spiritual battle this morning. There are different kinds of snakes, just as there are different kinds of demons. And some snakes carry a lot more venom and power to kill than others. And Ephesians 6 tells us there are powers and principalities, there's kind of rulers in the heavenly places, which of course we're over them as the Church of Jesus Christ. But there are greater powers, territorial spirits, but there are also individual demonic spirits. And remember, Jesus cast out a legion, which is over 3,000 demons, out of one man. And let me say, 3,000 plus Jesus is no contest. Did you get that? And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Come on, 3,000 is no contest for us in Christ. There are different kinds of powers, different kinds of snakes, demons. But the python doesn't kill its prey through the venom, the bite. He bites and then he coils around the prey. I've seen this. And just out of interest, I think it's in Malaysia, there is a 27-foot-long python. So we're talking about the ability to take life out of large animals. Now, the python spirit demon works a bit like the python snake. And his goal, the demonic power, the power of the enemy, his goal is to squeeze life out of you. To coil around you and squeeze you so you can't breathe. So that's the strategy of this demonic spirit. And I've experienced this. And I'm sure if you're moving forward with God, you too have experienced this squeeze. And he tries to suffocate us. Now, breath is important for a Christian. Because we were created, when God created man, he breathed life into Adam. And Jesus also breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples. And the breath of God is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But it's also symbolic of the Scripture. All Scripture is God breathed. So the plan of the devil is to take the life of God out of you. To squeeze the Holy Spirit out. And to squeeze the word out. And get you living naturally. Not through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a big squeeze wherever the enemy is at work. And to breathe, you know, if I didn't breathe every day, I would die. In fact, if I didn't breathe in the next couple of minutes, you'd see something severely compromised here on the platform. And, you know, the Christian needs to breathe in God continually. How do we do that? Take in his presence. Take in his love. Breathe in his joy. Breathe in the word of God daily. And we also need to breathe out. There's no point, is there, just breathing in? These are conference Christians who never do anything for God. It's time to breathe out. Prayer. Praise. Declaration. The gospel. And so for us to live a healthy life that's free from the squeeze of the enemy, we need to breathe in. And we also need to breathe out daily. And what's the first thing the devil wants to do to squeeze the life out of you? He wants to stop your daily time of prayer and time in the Word. He tries to squeeze it out. He tries to give you no desire for God. Squeeze out your desire for the Lord. And actually say, well, I just don't feel like, I haven't got time to pray today. I haven't got time to spend time reading the Word of God. And as soon as we compromise that, we've actually given up a bit of our breath. Because the Bible says to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit, to keep topped up and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I think it's Bill Johnson says, because we leak like a bucket, we can leak. Every day I need his breath. I need a fresh infilling. I need the word of life. I breathe in his promises. I read the scriptures and I get life. Because there's life of God in the Word of God. It's not an ordinary Word. It's a living, powerful Word that is creative and is able to transform everything. I get healed by reading my Bible. I get vision. I get restored in prayer and worship. And the devil wants to squeeze our time. He wants to squeeze. You see, behind this is a python spirit. Take out our time in prayer. And then what happens? We start to miss church. I've been a pastor too long to know the signs. When people stop coming to church and go the every other week, I get a warning bell that says it'll soon be once a month, and it'll then soon be no time. And that is the plan of Satan, because isolation makes it very dangerous for a Christian. And the only place we're called to have like as a routine, a habit, is in the house of God with believers. To be meeting together in the week as well as at weekends. And so he tries to squeeze out church. And he's got you in his grip. And we shouldn't be in that place. We should be living in the fullness of Christ by doing life God's way. The squeeze. You start to change your friends. And your friends are more carnal than spiritual. You start worldly pursuits. Whereas you used to be full on for God. Now it's like, hey, I can find something else better to do. There's a TV program I want to watch. Sometimes I think the squeeze comes out of the TV. The devil's behind. A lot of that stuff, taking the life out of people, diminishing the revelation of Christ in their lives. By the way, I'm not against TV, but I'm very selective. Very, very selective about what I watch and what I allow to influence me as a Holy Spirit wanting to attract the presence of God person to my life. But also a squeeze comes on, and I'll tell you what the other squeeze is. The first one might have been more relevant for you. The second, I think, has been relevant for each one of us in this room. Discouragement. He squeezes down and says, what's the point? Why don't you give up? Has anybody ever heard the why don't you give up word from Satan? Why don't you give up on the promises? Why don't you give up on what God has said he's promised he would do? Give it up. Let go. Live as though there isn't really a God, but still go to church. And therefore you live in this low level of discouragement, and fear starts to come in. And there's a scripture, you know, and I'd never read it before, from Isaiah 51, verse 23. It actually says the enemy will say, lie down and let us walk over you. Isaiah 51, verse 23. Why don't you lie down? This is the enemy saying to the church, to a believer, lie down. We want to walk all over you. How long are we going to let him? How long are you going to let him? I'm not going to let him walk over me and bring sickness, discouragement, depression. We're not having those things that don't belong in the kingdom of light. How many of you are not for lying down and letting the devil walk all over you? Come on, church. We're in Christ for a reason to put the enemy under our feet. He's the road we're walking on. We're not his road. And we've got treads on. It's so neat, the devil's under our feet. But we're not going to take it. You've got to come into this revelation of, you know what, this python spirit is not having the life that God has planned for me. And I'm going to give myself to prayer, to the word daily. I'm not going to cut the life source, which is my relationship with God is my life source. So when we're discouraged, what do we need to do? We need to say, I'm not going to forget who I am in Christ. I'm going to get into the Word and pray. And I'm going to come to a place of power. And that place is the church. Come on. We're not here for entertainment. We're here for the kingdom. We're not a leisure people. We're a people of God who are here to do a job. Do you know, you can rest in heaven. Until then, do you know what's happening? I ain't never retiring. Never. I'm telling the devil, I will never retire. I will always be effective. When I'm 90, I'm going to be praying in the Spirit, tearing down kingdoms, releasing the power of the enemy, just telling him to go, releasing the Holy Spirit. I am never giving up. I shall be someone who will be in the church of Jesus Christ, who will be standing up and supporting the next generation. Amen. Mindsets, church, come on. Now, Acts 16 is all about using our spiritual weapons. And I'm not going to look about our authority in Christ today, which is absolutely another weapon. But one of these weapons, I just want to home in on, is the weapon of praise. It's a spiritual weapon, praise. Acts chapter 16, let's look at verse 22. Thank you, Jesus. How you doing? Ain't no Python spirit going to stop me. I'm not having it. This week, we had a week of prayer and fasting. And time on Thursday as a church, prayer and fasting time. It was a phenomenal prayer meeting. We, honestly, it was just amazing. And I'm just like, this is it. And during the week, I had a revelation. We were praying as a leadership. Pastor Andrew and I were on our faces before God. And I had a revelation. The enemy has been trying to tie me down. Yes. And you know what? I saw like the spirit of might come upon us, like Samson. And it was like all these black bands have been trying to hold me down. I don't know if you can tell I'm not held down today. It's a spiritual reality. Something's happened. And I saw all these black bonds over us, broken off. Pastor Andrew had exactly the same time a different vision about a demonic power trying to get us, get our ankles around our feet and pull us to the floor. And, you know, it's just like the plan of the devil to try and do that to us. But we're free. And we've seen a victory this week over us and over the whole church. But I want to tell you, you play a part in the atmosphere you live in and the victories you're going to see. And this Acts 16 is actually going to end up, the way that Paul and Silas responded to what was happening ended up with the salvation of a whole family. So I'm still preaching about going out, but I'm talking about with spiritual power. Rather than just going out to win the lost. I'm talking about a dynamic of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That when we go out, there's going to be chains set free. That people are going to be freed up of their chains and liberated to get saved. So Acts chapter 16, verse 22. After Paul and Silas had actually set this girl free, everybody was mad because they couldn't make money out of her anymore. And verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. At this point, most Christians would say, I'll never serve God again. This is just not right. I don't believe for this. And you need to understand that there will be opposition. But you know what? We always come out on top. It may not look like it at the beginning, but just wait. We will see a victory through everything that the enemy tries to do. Whatever the devil's tried in your life, you can come out of that and bring it into a victory through the name of Jesus. Amen. It's time he stopped. It's time you made a decision. You're not walking over me anymore. It's time, church. It says, after they've been severely flogged, so that's a pretty bad flogging, and flogging in that time meant your back was ripped to shreds. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell, as if they were going to run anywhere with that back, and fastened their feet in stocks. In other words, put them in the worst place where there is no way out. Oh, the devil loves to use that one. There is no way out of this. Has anybody in this room ever heard there is no way out? I'm telling you, God is the way out. And this is what happened. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. In other words, they were praising God. And then suddenly, the other prisoners were listening, which I think is amazing, because they were like, what are they on? We want it. Because they'd all been miserable, but suddenly, here we have believers praising God in the same negative circumstances as everybody else, but behaving differently in those circumstances. The prisoners heard, and suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake. So, God is on the move, and there's a shake-up and a break-up of everything the devil has tried to put in as a foundation. Earthquake, and the prison doors were shaken. The prison was shaken. And all at once, the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Okay, two broken, beaten up, full of pain, guys, start to praise the Lord. And I think it's significant not just pray, because prayer is often, God help, get me out of here. Praise is, you get your focus on God and you begin to say, you're great, you're awesome, you're mighty, you saved me, you set me free. I'm the happiest person on earth, even though my back is bleeding. I'm happy because I am your child. Translate this into your life. Whatever's happening, praise him. All at once, the prison doors flew open, everyone's chains came loose, and the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. So in other words, I'd rather kill myself rather than deal with the fact that I've allowed these guys to go free. Verse 28, but Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. Then basically the guy said, so what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And the whole house was saved. They lifted their voice. Praise is a requirement, a prerequisite of victory sometimes. We know we have the victory in Jesus, but we need to see victory around us and for the people who live around us. We're not just here for ourselves. And so this praise that they began to open their mouths and declare the praises of God, praises of Jesus. And in declaring those praises, God was attracted. I mean, I'm not so sure. And in fact, I know biblically, if we're moaning and complaining and saying how bad life is for us, it attracts demonic things. All right, church? You want to be equipped to live in victory? Stop moaning. In the name of Jesus, please stop complaining. Start praising. They didn't feel like it. How many times do you not feel like praising the Lord? Every day? Hello? There's a moment in every day where I don't quite feel like praising the Lord. But we started off with this. His praise will continually be in my mouth. So I'm not going to stop. It doesn't matter how bad my life looks currently, I will praise Him at all times. I will express, praise is an expression of the victory that Jesus has won. Praise declares the greatness of God in the circumstances that look as though God isn't in this. But God is there, but He will manifest through your praises. You are going to see things happen in your life if in that moment you will declare the high praises of God in your mouth. Breakthrough and freedom will come to you. And this, I want to tell you, is the devil's nightmare. A praising people is a devil's nightmare. At work, praise Him. When people let you down, praise Him. Let me tell you a little testimony this morning. We've been going walkabout, and one of the things that we've been doing is talking to people about Jesus. And I actually had someone commit to do a course which we've written, Life Worth Living, and Discovering the Christian Faith. And I was meeting her tomorrow in Wellington to take her through this course. 9:30 this morning, on a Sunday morning, before I come in and preach a victory message. I don't feel very comfortable about doing this course anymore. Now, this is a week on, but it happened before I came in. Why? Because the devil wanted me to stop thinking kind of about what we were going to do. And I was like, initially I went, because I was so excited, as you are when somebody says yes and you start to witness to them. I was like, and then I went, ha, devil, you're not having my praise. I'm not the one who's going to save this girl. Jesus is. And I'm going to praise the name all the way in. I'm shouting. Praise to the Lord. I'm saying, praise you, Jesus. You're going to find her. You're going to reach her. She is going to get saved. I declare the victory of the name of Jesus. And I say, Satan, you ain't having my praise. You're not having my joy. You're not having my encouragement. I'm going to stay strong. And God is able to save. He is mighty to save. I'm going to praise Him that He is mighty to save. And I'm like, I came in like this. Whoops, here we go. I'm so happy. Whereas if I'd taken that in the wrong way, I'd have walked in, well, I just keep trying to preach the gospel, but it didn't work. It's so hard, you know. We may as well give up. Just what the devil wants. Squeeze it. Take out the life and the power of preaching the gospel. Squeeze that life. Well, you know, God says He's powerful and He can do this, but I haven't seen it. Praise Him. Church, we're an army. And an army moves forward with praise. An army sees the devil defeated when they praise. And we ain't going to put up with the devil keeping this generation in blindness any more. Amen. We're not going to put up with it. Right, finally, let's just have joy, if you don't mind. Can I have... I've just written three things, ways to praise the Lord. Here we go. Four. Speak and sing. Of course we know about that. Everywhere through Scripture, sing and declare, speak the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift up your hands. Okay? Is that easy to do? Hello? Anybody? What if England win the World Cup? Everybody lift it. Not everybody will. But we will lift up our hands. I will. To the Lord. Lift your hands in praise to the Lord. That's what He says is a biblical way of praising Him. Psalm 150 says, with instruments. We've got a few up here. Guys, praise Him on your instruments. And it says, with dancing. I love Pastor Michael. The way he dances is like this. and he's got no rhythm, but he dances. He's coming in July and he'll be doing this. Probably a bit like this. But he's dancing. In the way you dance, dance. Dance before the Lord. And Psalm 47 verse 1 says, clap your hands, all you people. How many of us should clap our hands? Clapping your hands brings a victory in the spirit. It actually, the enemy hates the clap. Gonna give him a headache. Such a bad day when you clap to the Lord. And then it says, shout unto God. Why does this church shout? Because we're a biblical church and we believe in a shout. When the people of God shouted at the walls of Jericho, do you know what happened? Down came those walls. It doesn't matter what the devil puts up, a shout will bring it down. Next slide, please. Weapons. Praise is an atmosphere changer. The first point, a weapon. Praise is a weapon. Some things won't change until you shout, hallelujah. No point in looking at the radical kind of worship team, as long as they are radical, and the praising pastors, as long as we stay radical, and saying, look at them, they love to shout. Well, I don't. It's not my personality. Well, we're not here for personality. We're here for God. And we're here to declare the praises and to shout to the Lord. And sometimes you won't get that breakthrough until you shout. I've taken myself off to a field where there is absolutely no opportunity for anybody, even walking a dog, to be. And I've gone for it. In a moment of defeat, when my emotions are just down and I'm feeling like the enemy's winning, I'll get up on a mountain and I'll praise. I will shout. I love it when the house is empty, there's nobody there, and I just start. I'm off. I'm shouting. I'm praising. Why? Because I'm going to live in the victory that Jesus has won for me, and I'm going to bring victory to you and to many who aren't even saved yet, because I'm going to praise him. The next one is, it activates the spirit realm. God and his angels break through praise. When you praise, it's like something goes up to heaven, and what comes down is God, an increase of God. Third, it confuses the enemy. When Jehoshaphat and the people were told to praise the Lord, he is good. What are you supposed to sing? Sing, he is good, his love endures forever, over and over again. So all the people began to praise, Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. The Lord sent confusion into the enemy's camp and it released God's power. There was such a victory they didn't even have to fight for. I want victories I don't have to fight for. Darlene Check wrote Shout to the Lord, which launched her into international ministry. That song's known all over the world years ago. She wrote that in a really bad time. It seemed like they were poor as a couple. They didn't have much money. Everything seemed to be going wrong. She took herself off, got on a keyboard, and she said, mountains bow down and the seas will roar. And she started to sing of the mountains. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. In the worst moment, nothing compares to the promise. And out of that, she got a new job. Her husband got a new job. Praise started to open doors for her. Praise will open doors for you to come into all that God has called for you. There's a destiny over your life that you won't come into till you praise the Lord. And it's not even just in church, guys. This is lifestyle. I'm not talking about just being a praiser on a Sunday. I'm talking being a praiser and a worshiper of God with your life. Number four, please. Frees you. Like it did us this week, it'll free you today. With understanding and faith as well. And changes your circumstances. I reckon praise is fantastic. All I have to do is praise him and I get an amazing God intervention. And things work out for good in the end. Yeah? And finally, leads to the freedom and salvation of others. I think this is where praise needs to go further in our minds. That if I praise him, just like Paul and Silas, it'll lead to the freedom of those prisoners. Wherever you work, praise him. I know some of you have really tough situations at work. Start praising him. And release the freedom over your life and also over wherever you work. And salvation is going to come. A revelation of God's going to come to the people around you. Because you are a praising, worshipping child of God. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.